And welcome everyone to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, December 18th, 2024. All day I felt like it was a Friday. I really did. It's my day started out with I think it was a 90-minute phone conversation with Steve Quayle, who thought last Friday was Sunday, and then we were talking about days, and ever since then, I don't know. It's like I'm out in time and space. I want to thank everyone for joining me in the chat. Thank you so very much for your belief and trust in this platform. God bless everyone. I really appreciate all of you who have taken the time to sign up with Rumble and then click follow our channel. That's very important, I believe, to the penetration of our message. Something about the algorithms. Have a lot to get into. First hour, Stan Dale. I'm telling you what, I got email after email after email yesterday saying, hey, you know, I'm so glad you asked Stan back. And that's it. I mean, he's got quite the following out there, the fan base out there for all of his work. And it's a lot of work that he does. Real quick before I get to Stan, I just want to say, look, you know, the firmness, the spine, the lack of spine, I guess, and the lack of firmness from the, from our party, the Republican Party and the, House and Senate, the House particularly, just amazes me. The House Speaker, you know, not yet, but seeming to cave into the pressure to go home, considering the CR, which has turned into an omnibus bill. You know, they haven't passed a budget for 10 years. Okay. I'm just saying 35. I think this is number 35 on the continuing resolution. So it's just crazy. Also, I'm concerned about the fact that you've got Senator John Kennedy wanting a long conversation with RFK before making his decision of support. I'm concerned about that because I like John Kennedy. You know, there's a lot of pressure from K Street, from the lobbyists to break out the big checkbooks, okay, to oppose RFK Jr. So in the scope of things, it appears to me, and I could be wrong on this, that that's going to be the most difficult position to pass or to advance. So just saying, I don't like the way our side is operating. I don't like politicians. And quite frankly, I really don't like politics. I don't trust them. But we do have a refreshing show coming up here momentarily. Before I get to Stan, I just want to take care of some business right now by bringing your attention to healthwithdoug.com. Cutting Edge 2024 study shows collagen can have drastically positive effects on skin health, and it finds that women who take a daily collagen drink see a noticeable reduction in the wrinkles and firmer. The end result is ending wrinkles and having a firmer skin, but it's important not to use just any random collagen. Healthwithdoug.com has come out with a specific multi-collagen, and absolutely love how it's transformed. I love how it's transformed my skin, my wife's skin. It's worked very well, and it's very well sourced. It's better than you'll typically find on store shelves. It uses the top five critically important types of collagen for skin health. Look, it just mix this with your morning coffee, protein shake, or smoothie, whatever it might be, to give your support it needs really each day. And I'm telling you, the longer you do this, the better off it is. So do yourself a favor. Grab some while it's 51% off during their holiday promotion only at healthwithdoug.com. Plus, order today and receive free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, a free book titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping with your order. Once again, that's healthwithdoug.com. Link will be in the program description box. All right. So with me is Stan Dale from standale.com. And as I said before, please order his, first of all, please support him by going on his Patreon, also, and you order his, book, Cosmic Conspiracy, and other various, he's got a lot of, actually, just a ton of, intellectual work products that I specifically like. The Garden of Eden one in particular, that had me really taking notice of a lot of things. So go to standale.com. There you can find the headlines that Holly puts up. Also, Dare to Prepare, which now is probably a good time to get that if you don't have it. Dare to Prepare, Holly Deo. It's like an encyclopedia of preparedness. All right, with that, I'm going to bring Stan Dale on, if that's possible. And with me tonight, or the first hour, is Stan Dale, standale.com. Stan, how are you, sir? Doing well? Oh, wait a second. We don't have Stan. All right, so stand by. Eric the Tech, let me know when we have Stan. Eric the Tech, how are you tonight? Eric the Tech? Okay, I did. Okay, I'll let you push the buttons. Okay. All right. Well, then I'll ramble. You just jump in when he comes on. I'm not going to ramble. Look, you've got a lot of things taking place. Of course, we talked about the drones this week, and there, you know, that seems to be like one of the big issues, the drones. Obviously, one of the headline grabbers. But what's happening behind the scenes that we're not seeing? Because for every minute we spend on that, we're missing a minute of other news. Not that that's not important, because it is important, but there's other things going on as well. Now, there is talk. I mentioned the CR, or what has turned into an omnibus bill. Elon Musk is apparently involved in some sort of high-level negotiation to kill that bill. So we're going to see what happens. And then there's also, again, the right, our side, you know, man, they can grasp victory. I mean, they can grasp defeat from the jaws of winning anytime. Johnson considers dropping the massive spending bill. Did you see, I don't know how many people saw pictures of the bill. Elon Musk posted on his X feed this big, big pile of pages, number of pages. And really, when going back to, I mean, it's beyond belief that they want to force this bill down our throats, the people's throats, by way of the House and Senate, which is just a bunch of BS. Now, right now, we are on track to go, our country is on track to go bankrupt. Okay. I'm telling you right now, it is not good. Matt Gaetz also getting into the conversation, interestingly enough. So there's a lot, again, a lot of things taking place. Let me get back to, or let me address one other thing that we talked about, but really didn't touch upon. I think one of the most important positions that is being considered is Stan, is that you talking to me? I can hear you. I don't. Okay. I don't know if he's got. Okay. One of the most important positions, I believe, is the position of DNI. And I do believe that we need to keep our eyes on that and how that goes, because that is going to empower the FBI. That's going to empower basically all of the intelligence community. And also, as well as that, the purpose of DNI, created after, of course, 9/11. If Tulsi Gabbard does a good job, I think her really the purpose of her job would be to really shut down that position, that operation. You know what I mean? Okay, it's like let's say you work for a bank and you're the head of collections, and you got 10 collectors or 17 collectors or whatever. And if you do your job well, you're going to work yourself out of a job. And that's kind of the way I'm thinking that this is how this should play out. Of course, you know, that's a lot of hopium there. Interestingly enough as well, the lawfare aspect of things is kind of flipping. President Trump is suing Ann Selzer. Remember that Des Moines or the Iowa poll that really weird poll that came out. I think it was, what, 2 weeks before the election? Well, now Lawfare is being foisted back upon them, and President Trump is suing Ann Seltzer and the Des Moines Register for fraudulent polling and election interferences, which what it is, what it was. Also, the elections officials in Maricopa County, in the places in California, in other places, the next 4 years we're going to have to work to clean this mess of an election up. And I've been in contact with just one person who has spoken to both the campaign people and now the inner circle. Obviously, the conversation was one way, so, you know, what can I tell you, except the fact that they are looking during the next 4 years of pushing different governors, different states, attorneys general, and others to clean things up. So, again, folks, when Stan's ready, he'll come on. Eric the Tech, just let me know. We might. Oh, he's right. Okay, Stan Dale from StanDale.com. I was kind of just passing the time. All right, you're ready to rock and roll. Thank you for joining me tonight as a continuation from last night. How are you, sir?
Oh, good. And, Eric just told me that apparently I can do a share screen with you guys, which is
okay.
Good.
Okay, now it's a party.
Yeah,
now,
it is,
no,
actually.
No selfies now, I'm telling you. Watch what you share. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah. I know you're kind.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now, you know, that's good, because I was sitting over here trying to get my show images page updated and having trouble with the computers talking to each other. But now that we can share screen, let me just test that here with our first topic from spaceweather.com. And let's see here where we've got. We don't want that. We want this one, I think.
There we go. Look at that.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
All right.
Isn't technology great? I'm glad we got you into the 21st century.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a struggle to get me into the current century for a lot of reasons. But
brought up slowly myself by the children and friends that say, look, you're looking a bit antique. They still think our website's, less century, which of course it is, but
I like it that way. I like it. I just
no bells and whistles, no flipping, no video things to click off, you know, just straight information, which is great. Now we're looking at the spaceweather.com page. A lot of things have happened over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and as I probably mentioned last night, I'm not sure, but the Stanford lab for collecting all the magnetic field data from the sun satellites has been flooded. The server room has been flooded from a 4-inch pipe that burst and flooded the whole server room. Excuse me. Thus taking out all of the links that NASA and NOAA use to supply me data on this site here, the Solar Dynamics Observatory. When I click on that, it's not even bringing it up now. I guess they've stopped doing it. We'll go back to
Is that because
later.
Of the burst water pipe or whatever?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
This
okay.
happened. Now, this happened twice this year, since about July, I think it was, end of July. I started every now and then getting 4 or 5 days of no data from the sun. And I thought at the time, now that's weird. But then all of a sudden, it came back home with that explanation. And it happened twice, and then everything seemed to flow along just fine. But now we're in an active period of the sun, which is really going to be quite fascinating. And, voila, we don't have access to the data. how does that happen? I just don't know. Anyway.
Just like the burst water pipe down in Atlanta. But anyway.
So. So, okay. Now, having said that, again, the reason I believe that President-elect Trump has called the whole global warming thing a scam is because it is. And is it a scam that he would support? Maybe. And here's why. If you were the president of the United States, not just disregarding the other countries, but just the United States, and you were to say, look, we've got a problem with the sun. Our scientists have done forecast analyses of the behavior of the sun, and something bad is going to happen. It's going to throw off a shell of dust and stuff, out, a plasma out through the whole solar system. It's going to make a bright flash that will just cook the part of the Earth that's facing the sun. The third part of the surface will burn. You know, people might take that badly, and anarchy would break out, you know? And so you wouldn't tell the truth immediately. You'd say, okay, look, we've got global warming, and it's caused some cow gas and car emissions and all that kind of stuff. And they would, and you would do the same thing, saying, okay, let's try to fix this problem. Let's organize projects. Let's, you know, attack the problem. And that way people would think that they have a chance at solving the problem themselves. And there's hope. But if you tell them, there's no hope an act of God is going to make the sun throw off an outer shell and destroy a third of the surface of the Earth with a heat wave in the near future. But don't worry. Not going to be a clever thing to do or say, let's face it. So I've thought that, you know, all along that it was a scam. And I said, why? And I've said this many times publicly. I'm surprised they let this, you know, go out, you know, from an uninformed source like myself. But that is the issue. And right now, things are happening on the sun as I've been expecting for like 5 or 6 years. The surface of the sun is unstable. It's showing a lot of magnetic filaments. Let me just stop sharing for a minute so I can wave hands. A lot of magnetic filaments are flipping on the sun when it's facing us. And these produce coronal mass ejections of plasma particles at high speed, not the speed of light, but get to the Earth in 2 or 3 days. And the burst of light from these solar flares attending that get here within 8 minutes. So we have a warning, you know, 2 or 3 day warning that things are unhappy and heading our way. Okay, now, without that information, I can only tell you what we assumed to a certain point in time. They say that they won't fix the problem in the server room at Stanford to start getting the data again until sometime in 2025, and they didn't kind of tell you when. So what I'm telling you, looking at space weather, for instance, here, let's see. Yeah. Let's look at the current information we can get off of space weather sources, some from the Chinese satellites as well, because we can't use our own. Okay, we're there. Here's the thing. Okay. That's the one we want. Okay, share. Okay, now, this is the article. Another far-side explosion on the sun. Another magnificent halo that's a perfect, like, smoke ring heading toward the Earth from the backside of the sun. So we're getting a reflected, shockwave from it, but not the main CME. It left the far side of the sun on December 17th, yesterday. And this is a fourth far-side CME in the past 10 days, signaling a very active sunspot hidden from view. And that's one of the things that we can't look at without the magnetic data, so we can flip the sun around and look at the strength and where these sunspots are that are generating these potentially, you know, Carrington event CMEs and stuff toward the Earth. And we're going to watch the movie. I'm going to click on it here. And you see that circular pattern is what's called a halo because it's making a smoke ring coming out. And this is on the far side of the sun, they say. But if it was looking at us, we'd be getting a hit from something pretty nasty. I've seen worse, but something pretty nasty. Now, China has their own satellite thing up here. Let's watch this. Okay, they deployed their own group of satellites, which is nice in peaceful times, but it can also be used against us, either blocking transmission from our satellites in orbit, or sending false data to our satellites, or destroying our satellites in orbit. They've been playing with that too in China. You're a sign that you're not a bot. Okay, fine. Okay.
I think that's I don't know. To me, that looks like an ad that they would put in. But, well, I don't know.
Let's just see if I can get to that loop.
Oh, maybe not. Look at that.
Okay.
What do I know?
Okay, we're in the solar maximum. When they say the magnetic field of the sun has slipped, this is misleading right now because the north and south pole of the sun And let me just do that for a second. The North and South Pole of the Sun, I can't talk without my hands, you know that. North and South Pole of the Sun, every 11.5 years, flip like this. So the North becomes South and South becomes North. But they don't do it at the same time. This is inconvenient. Now, the North Pole of the Sun, yeah, laugh, that's true though. The North Pole of the Sun started flipping maybe 2 years ago. The South Pole was kind of saying, oh, I don't know what's up, and just not moving. Push, they do. They don't flip at the same rate. And so even the North Pole started slipping 2 years ago. If you could look at the magnetic images of the sun showing where the North and South Pole magnetic lines are, the South Pole is kind of sort of moving to where it should be. It's way behind. And the North Pole has started to move. And it's moving, slowly. And so we've got chaos in the magnetic fields of the sun because the primary poles, magnetic internal poles of the sun, are not aligned properly. And they, like us, have several pairs of north-south magnetic fields inside the sun that have to align to get these alignments correct. On the Earth, we have the magnetic poles that you're aware of. But two others, north-south poles inside our planet that are wandering around and they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to be. And this has been that way for centuries. So since we're linked to the sun's magnetic field strongly, and we have a periodic dump of information and particles and stuff from the sun through a filament, a tube that forms, almost daily from the sun to somewhere on the Earth, it pumps in stuff to our magnetic field. We're connected. So when the sun's magnetic field is in chaos, ours follows. And what follows the magnetic field are electric fields that lead cloud formations and weather formations. And what are we seeing right now? Crap weather everywhere. We've been seeing it for months now. And
Tell me
here,
about it. Go ahead.
what have you had in your neighborhood that is unusual?
I don't know, 12 feet of snow, maybe 100 feet. I'm not sure.
Wow.
No,
Okay.
I'm exaggerating, but no, it's just, yeah, but it's, t look, it's, t to me, it's typical. It's a typical winter up here. So in Northwest Pennsylvania,
Well, I'm looking for atypical weather.
well, I mean, look at Helene,
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
okay, stuff like that. Incredible. Go ahead. Oh, but by the way, Stan, Eric, I got a note from Eric the Tech. If you can just, nothing like live TV radio or live video and radio. Can you leave your share screen on so Eric the Tech can grab the video feed?
Oh,
And
all right. Sorry, yeah, I
so,
turned it off because I
yeah.
was chatting.
Yeah. So,
I'm
I mean,
not.
just, yeah, you can leave it on and then Eric can do whatever he does. I'm not sure I understand what he
Okay, well,
can
I'm
do.
sharing sound and videos from that, so if there's any sound.
There we
Okay,
go.
we're on that site. Okay.
Oh,
All
wow.
right. Yeah,
Okay.
we're there now. Let's just see if we can make this a little bit bigger. And I think we have to listen to it.
But as the days passed, this sunspot grew at an astonishing rate, swelling to a size 17 times larger than Earth itself. Scientists labeled it Active Region 3664. And it didn't take long to live up to its name. This colossal sunspot unleashed fierce solar flares, some so powerful they triggered coronal mass ejections aimed straight at Earth. The result? One of the most dazzling aurora displays in recorded history, with vibrant lights stretching across the globe to places that had never seen them before. According to NASA, this was the most powerful geomagnetic storm in 500 years.
Could a Cybertruck like the one that you see right behind me?
Commercials.
I love them ads.
Underground. The sun didn't settle down after the intense solar storms in May. Instead, it continued to unleash bursts of M and mild X-class flares, keeping space weather experts on high alert. Then, on October 3rd, it released an enormous X9.0 flare, the strongest seen in 7 years, right from the center of its disk. Within a week, a powerful G4 geomagnetic storm hit Earth, lighting up the skies with vibrant auroras in places unaccustomed to such displays and disrupting radio communications in some parts of the world. All of this pointed to one thing, the approach of solar maximum. Now, NASA has officially confirmed it. The sun's magnetic field has flipped, and the solar maximum has arrived.
Not true.
So what will the solar maximum do to our planet in the coming months? How long will this period of heightened solar activity last? Finally, and most importantly, will this increase the average global temperature and warm our planet over the next year? The sun may look like a bright, constant ball of light, but it's far from steady. Every 11 years or so, it goes through a dramatic transformation known as the solar cycle. This cycle, which impacts our planet in many ways, involves changes in the sun's activity, magnetism, and even appearance. The discovery of the solar cycle dates back to the late 1700s, when astronomers noticed something strange. While observing sunspots, dark patches on the sun's surface, astronomers realized they didn't appear randomly. Instead, the number of sunspots grew and shrank in a pattern over time. The observations revealed that sunspots increased and decreased in number every 11 years, a cycle that scientists would eventually call the solar cycle. Following this discovery, astronomers started paying close attention to this phenomenon. For a long time, they kept a record of solar activity by observing the behavior of sunspots alone. But as technology improved, they noticed two more things that changed over a solar cycle. The first was the solar magnetic field. Our sun is a huge ball of charged gas or plasma, and its magnetic field is constantly changing. Astronomers found that the magnetic field goes through a complete reversal of polarity with each solar cycle. This means that the solar magnetic north becomes south, and the south becomes north. The pole reversal happens around a solar maximum, marking a cycle's midpoint. Another aspect of the sun that changes with the solar cycle is its overall activity, including solar wind, flares, and coronal mass ejections. This activity reaches its highest point at the solar maximum and its lowest at the solar minimum. Because of these findings, monitoring solar cycles now involves looking at solar activity and polarity reversal, in addition to counting sunspots. Since the initial discovery of the solar cycles, astronomers have tracked each cycle and assigned them numbers. We're currently in solar cycle 25, but each of the preceding 24 cycles had unique characteristics. While most followed the expected pattern of rising to a maximum with many sunspots and then declining into a quiet minimum, there were two strange periods in history that we still can't explain. Just as we observe each solar cycle with awe, wondering what mysteries lie in its rise and fall, MOVA Globes lets you bring that same wonder of awe right on your desk. Powered by ambient light and hidden magnets, they spin silently, creating a serene and mesmerizing display in your home or workplace.
I don't know that we need to watch the rest of this.
No batteries.
Okay, just a charm.
All right, I'm just going to pause that and stop the share. Didn't know about the commercial. That was just the link that was there in the article. So,
well, the explanation was good.
Say again?
Yeah.
Oh, don't stop the share?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. Look, okay, well, I didn't think you wanted to watch that because there was nothing.
No, I mean, yeah, Eric will take care of the.
So keep the share going. Am I still going or what?
Yeah.
So, okay,
both feeds are coming in to Eric, yours and the screen share.
So if I wave my hands about something there, will they see that at the same time or not? Okay, split with that image. I didn't see that. That's okay. Okay, so this is, we've done the Chinese thing here. Okay, we don't need to see that. This is good. I'm really glad we've got that now. Here was the site that we were using at Stanford there in the laboratory that got flooded. We'll just see if we can get it up here about now. Come on, let me have the site. They've probably taken the site down because of so many complaints, most probably. Okay. Let's see.
Well, that is a really lame, I think, a lame excuse. And the timing is odd. The excuse is odd. And...
It is. It is. I'm a conspiracy theorist, but anyway, because this is the thing I've been waiting for like, 10, 11 years, I've been watching solar cycles and solar behavior to see when this is going to happen, because I knew that we're approaching a change. The sun has burned up over half its hydrogen supply and, fusion reactions with hydrogen. But it's at a point now where the Russians have forecast that it will flip over to become a helium fusion reaction, which will change the color of light coming from the sun and a number of other things in the change. Now, when that change of fuel consumption changes in the sun, may be the moment when it throws off a cloud of plasma particles being produced by the new reaction will cause this discharge, and a brilliant light will, pass out through the solar system, hitting us after about 8 minutes. And even as the Bible says, during the tribulation, which I think we're close to, it says that a third of the earth facing the sun will be burned so badly that green trees and grass and everything, the water will boil in that spot, because the light will become seven times brighter than normal sunlight, which you can understand would heat up things. But it's a quick reaction because the rest of the planet doesn't get hit by this bright light burning. But as the Old Testament prophecy says, a cloud of dust will come off of the sun and pass out through our stellar system, and it will cause the light of the sun to change color. Probably, I think it'll be, it may be toward the red spectrum if you follow one theory, but it's either going to get redder or blue whiter. And according to the Bible discussion of it, the light of the moon reflecting the sunlight to us during that time, that great cloud being around us, will be like the color of blood, darkening. Now, I don't know whether that means it's because it was shielding light that was slightly brighter in the white light zone or the darker in the red light zone. I don't know. We'll find out. But it is because of this cloud of dust that the sun reflecting off the moon at that time looks, the color of blood, dark. And also it says, a certain percentage of the starlight will be not visible at that time. Now, shown you before, talked about the European Space Agency photographs of the Monoceros cluster of stars, there was one of the stars in Monoceros that did exactly what we're talking about here. It threw off a shell of plasma. It took 9 months or so for it to go out through its different satellite planets. It was a brilliant burst and like a smoke ring. It came out, and then you see that. And I put a soundtrack on it when I have the recording that I show. But basically, it was a quiet thing to us. It showed this light of this cloud, the shell splitting out and thinning out as it went out through the system of Monoceros. I'm thinking that's what we're looking at here. Now, on this live thing here on my screen, real-time solar wind, let's look over here, the thickness, if you wish, the density of the plasma coming off the sun, the solar wind in our direction, is, you can see here, dropped. It's not high, it's lower. And at the same time, I look down here and see that the speed is a lot faster than normal, being down around 500, and this is 575, 600, things like that. And that's been so since whatever time of day that was here not long ago. And down here, the speed of what we see here being very, this is lower the density here, but higher the speed here. Sorry, I had it reversed. Obviously, if you have more mass coming at us, it's probably not going to travel quite as fast. But this is very dense when it gets up to here. And it's less dense when it gets down to here. And so it's traveling faster because it's lighter, or, less dense. And the temperature of it is not like the high normal, but getting toward the average and dropping. Why is that? I don't know. But this is a page that I can now use, about the only thing I can access because of the problem with the Stanford lab. I don't think any of these others will be working. Let's try the electron flux and see if we can get... Oh, wow. That's today. We had an alert go out. Okay. Okay, one channel. Okay. I wonder if this is going to affect some of our satellites, actually. Wow. That's an interesting particle density emission there. Wow. Okay, well, you can see where I'm getting this from.
Right.
Space Weather Prediction Center, et cetera, et cetera. Go there and keep an eye on this. I wonder if we've just had a some kind of a mass ejection, like a CME that we can't access, of course, right now. I don't think we'll have it here. We'll try it and see. What's today? Is the
This is the 18th.
18th? We'll try 18, 19 spread and see if we can get any images. I doubt it, but we'll see. This is, oh, we're in luck. Look at this. This is the last 36 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. We need to change that date to 16 to 18 and generate. Well, they must be doing something right because we're getting these images back on, which is really great. I want to see if we can see that halo discharge. That was probably in the back. There it went. Yeah, that was the halo on the 17th early. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Well, so we're able to get some things. That is really cool. Lovely. Lovely. Okay, let's see if we can get that.
Just want to remind people who are listening to this on a podcast, definitely tune into Rumble and look at the images. They're fascinating as Stan goes through this. Go ahead, Stan.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Now, this is a device which we are missing from the Stanford flooding of the server room. We're looking straight at what we would see with the sun if we were looking live. But unfortunately, even though they said on that video we just looked at that the north and south pole of the sun have completed their reversal, and that's what this is what that would look like. Everything perfect on the top, green on the bottom, purple and white in between lines. It would be like that. But that's not the way it is right now. In fact, I'll show you. We'll go back. Let's go back into November and just pick a day, any day, and see if we can now get that. This is what it looked like in November. Now, I tell you, the green field is all over the place, and the purple field, supposedly the South Pole, it's all over the place. This is the equator of the sun we're looking at, and this is back in the 12th of November. Now, I guarantee you that between then and now, you're not going to get the picture that they showed you. That's a plug because they aren't getting live data. And I'll just go back and show you where we are here on the
Are you
19th.
suggesting that they may alter the image or just not put it up?
They don't have it. If
Okay, they
what
don't
they say
have it.
is true, the
Right.
server room is flooded, and that north-south stuff, it won't happen.
Okay.
I'm just trying to see if they've even plugged it here so we can see an Earth view of a real one. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's on the 17th. That's close enough if we can't get anything else. Wow. See how clobbered the North Pole, the greens are, and the purples. They're just. Yeah, and this is the Earth view here. And this tells us the sun moves this way, that it will move around just about a fourth of a cycle. We've got a lot of activity coming here, I can see on these magnetic field lines. Okay, they don't have the sunspots plotted, but they've got the fields plotted. It may be longer than 2 weeks. No, I think it'll be within 2 weeks we'll see that stuff around looking at us. Let me just, while I've got it working, let's go to the 18th, which is today. No, can't have it. All right, let's look back a week ago, the 11th. Oh, how interesting. 18th, 17th. You just saw that come up.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you how the heck you did that, but
Well, I did all the right things. I'm just looking at that at the moment here. For some reason, they gave me the 17th, and now they're not. Fascinating. Previous day, next day. Let's try to trick it. There we
there you
go.
go.
All right, we're going to go one more to the 18th. Oh,
And you
that's
got it.
today. That's today. Okay. Well, as I say, normally down underneath all this, there are white and black patterns showing the sunspot fields that are producing all these magnetic fields. But it's not like they showed you that video where they showed these nice green lines all forming a crown over the North Pole and purple ones a crown over the South Pole. The sun is not that ordered right now. It's in chaos. This flip is not going well. Just not going well. But I'm so glad we got this. This is amazing. Okay, if that works, let's see if we can get...
Folks, discovery is in real time. How great is that? So, but sir, now I'm just curious. This suggests what? The sun's instability at the moment, but is there something else that, I mean, what should we be expecting from this? What are you expecting from this?
Well, what I can see from this, and truly if this is correct data for the 18th as we've logged in, see where these little magnetic like eruptions are here. Those are coming out of a sunspot grouping. Right. So these are important things to watch. So I'm going to scoot around like the Earth, like the sun is turning relative to us. And here is an area that is interesting coming out of that area. And this area here is on both sides of the equator. And this one here is really nasty. Look at it. It's going to be a big group. And I suspect that within 2 weeks, we'll see that coming around the left side of the screen, which is the east for the sun's reference. Fascinating. Yeah. And this may be the point where we're going to see some massive electronic storms, magnetic field storms, and everything on the Earth. And since this is connected to weather, I would expect the next 2 to 3 weeks that there's to be some catastrophic weather, maybe cyclones or tornado activity in various places or flooding. There are about 50 island states on the planet that have an association, and they share data on the tides and various things like that. And they're very concerned over this because it just suddenly starts to flood them. It happened to one of them. I can't remember the name of the island group just about 3 days ago. So that's why this is important, and it's not letting me have, which is okay. I understand why, but let's see if we can get a solar flare alert out of this lot here. Okay, that was from what date? Anyway, the sun is a problem. Other than nuclear, EMP pulse bombs over the country, this is the worst thing to have is a flare and a coronal mass ejection that hits our power supply, our grid network. When it does hit it, it's not just wiping it out. It's adding about 60,000 volts of voltage to the lines and all the way to the ground. And this is an EMP pulse problem, which then causes fires in a lot of electronic places and switches and transformers all over the grid, which will wipe out the United States electronic systems totally. Computers, burnout generators that we can't even buy from the Chinese, and it would take 2 or 3 years if we could. This is why this is so important. It's because we're at the mercy of an event beyond human control. It's what they would call an act of nature, but it's an act of God.
Well, unless you have an EMP shield, and that's a good plug for those folks after Christmas gifts or Christmas gifts, depending on shipping. But the EMP shield, it's a good argument for having one of those. Okay.
All right. Look, I got this one to work. Oh, wait a minute. Here's the note up here. They're still saying, look in the red, you can see a cooling water line burst in the Stanford building housing the pipeline servers for SDO, blah, blah, blah. Currently, these data servers are offline, and while the damage is assessed and repaired, this means that all HMI and AI data will be unavailable until repairs are completed and pipeline restarted. I don't know why we got that magnetic field thing, which was really great, but maybe they've plugged it in a bit. It's important for us to see that. There's just no question about it anyway, so we can't get that. That's fine. We got some things. Sorry to mumble on, guys, but this is a kind of an important thing to be watching here. Okay, let's see if we've got
that here.
Okay, here's another little thing that we haven't talked about in a while. It's where our planets are. Let me just put it into desktop version here. Okay, here's the Earth up here, the blue thing. Mars, Jupiter, Uranus. Okay, now the Earth is affected by gravitational fields. From these here, these large, Jupiter and Uranus is not totally that large, but still there, a large gravitational effect on the Earth, but on the sun as well, causing, you know, coronal mass ejections and things to burst out like this. So we're out of the main area where I would expect to see normal, you know, disruptions on the sun from gravitational pull of these large planets. Now, Saturn, Neptune, Jupiter, and Uranus, when they were all more aligned over on this side, and the Earth was down about here somewhere, that was a danger zone. We're going to approach another one in a few months when we come over to this side, but it will be probably another 5 or 6 years till we see this, another alignment here, which will pull coronal mass ejections and flares off the sun in our direction. I don't know whether we can... it will allow me, but I think I can change the rate. Okay, let's go up. Okay. Now this is 15. I see. Four. Okay, it's the 15th of April next year. That's where the Earth will be on the opposite side of the sun. Now, under one theory that I put forward, one hypothesis, is that these larger gravitational masses are tugging on the surface of the sun on this side and thus pulling the skin of the sun, if you wish, over this way and thinning it so that the likelihood of coronal mass ejections and large flares increases a great deal when we're in that zone. And I'll just see if we can move back a bit here. So looking at, say, March, and then all the way to where are we here? All the way to about here, which is June. March to June next year, we're going to be seeing a possible lot of activity due to this gravitational alignment. Just to stop that for a second and go down here. Okay, let me go down here. Let's see. Remember, the Carrington event was in 1859, and I think it might have been in September. Does anybody remember that off the top of their head?
I can.
No. You can look it up and see. Okay. Well, now it's close, because here was the Earth, and let's move this thing back a bit. Let's see, back or forward, maybe forward. Yeah.
1859. That was, September 1.
I thought it was September. Well, okay, yeah. We'll run it back to September then. September 1 here. September 9th. Okay, proceed. Okay, well, at that time, these massive gas giants, or, you know, large mass planets, were over on that side of the sun while we were here. And a coronal mass ejection came out so bad that it harmed a lot of people that worked on the telegraph lines. And, you know, it was a catastrophic event if we had been there. See this triangle of pull. These Uranus, Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and Venus are all on that side, which means it was trying to thin things about here. And it was on the edge of that where this coronal mass ejection occurred. So that's why it's important for me, anyway, to look at the planets then versus now. Of course, now is 2024 and 12 and...
You know, if that same event happened today, I just want to let people know that global blackouts could potentially last for years. Financial markets, banking, telecommunications, and more would be disrupted. Economic losses just in the U.S. alone, according to what I'm reading, would be between really $1 to $2.5 trillion. So wow. That's an incredible, incredible event if that happened today.
Yeah, and it doesn't count for the weakness of the United States at that time. It could be invaded by air, land, sea, and destroyed. You know, so when you cut off communication, no cell phones, no power and stuff to a country, havoc ensues, because there's no way to tell law enforcement or, you know, first aid responders where to go and what's happening. just totally back in the, you know, the horse and buggy time where you send smoke signals at best. And here we're looking at today, right now, where the Earth is. I'll show you again. And we have the sun pulling, its gravitational field pulling on this side of the sun, Jupiter pulling on the sun, Uranus pulling on the sun, Venus pulling on the sun. Now, Saturn is off to the side on this one here, Saturn and Neptune. It's, you get worse effects when they're over closer to these. But this is where we are today, on the edge of a current tug on the surface of the sun by gravity. And it's, in this case, compacting this side of the sun because it's pulling everything toward these planets. Now, if we were around here in this orbit, you know, say 6 months from now, that would be more of an interesting thing, which we can look at if we say, let's go to 2025. And let's go to June the 1st. Well, yeah, June the 30th. Let's do it. Okay. Now, by June the 30th next year, we're going to be here, and the major gas giant, you know, things are over here pulling, and they will be thinning this side of the sun before June the 30th. You can see how the V of, or the kind of square shape, you know, right angle thing covering Jupiter, Uranus, Saturn, Neptune. These are all tugging on the sun and thinning this area. So let's see, that was in June. Let's go back to, April. Okay, April that is. All right. So in April next year, we will be probably best positioned. There you see it. All the biggies over here and us there in this thinning of the solar surface. So between now and April, or even before that, between now and at the end of it, maybe June, we're going to be at threat from severe coronal mass ejections from the sun and super solar flares and solar storms then. Anyway, that's that.
Well, folks, Stan not only explained it to you, but showed you. So there it is. Okay.
Another, yeah. Well, yeah. See, can I, let's see if I can do that on this share screen here. Ooh, yeah. I need to find, no, not that one, not that one. Where is it? Where'd it go here? Just a second. There's something. There we go. Want to look at the Middle East, because this is definitely going to be a major news factor over the next few months. Okay, it's coming in. Is that sharing on your screen? You're seeing Google Earth or not? No. Okay. Okay, then I've got to close this, go to that. I have to switch your share, which is there. Okay, now you can see it. This is, of course, Google Earth. And I'm going to put in here, okay, Damascus. We want to see if I've got Damascus links here. It's going to run over to Syria, to the city of Damascus, which is in the Bible a major player. And what we're about to see here in the war is going to be, or the start of the conflict will be here. Okay. Damascus disappears overnight, according to biblical prophecy, for this time. It becomes a ruinous heap, to quote the Bible. Now, two things I can think of that will cause this. One is a direct nuclear explosion over Damascus, which could possibly happen because Syria has been shoving across a little portion of Iraq into Damascus a lot of weapons that it uses against Israel down here. And this is the Golan Heights, and this is the Sea of Galilee. So, and we pay attention to Damascus and this flight path into here to Tel Aviv and Haifa in Israel. Now, okay, we know, at least publicly, that there are 10 military weapon storage and military armament storage, missiles, etc., based around Damascus, some going out across the mountain ridge here. Let's look at this in 3D. A little bit more 3D. And now then we're going to move around a bit. Okay, a bit more. Now then, some of these missile storage areas are over here in hard-to-reach territory by land. They're difficult access, but definitely we could target them with a nuclear device. Now, that's one of two possibilities that would turn Damascus into a ruinous heap that no one would occupy again. There's another thing here, which Syria is known for. It's called the fissiled volcanoes. That's a technical term, fissiled volcanoes. And that's because that whole area produces failed eruptions, form cinder cone piles, ruinous heaps. That's what the local people call them and have for generations. These black areas, which are now settled, some of them, these black areas are eruptions that failed but produced a lot of hot magma. Now, if one of these happened over here on Damascus, that would produce a ruinous heap. And that we could probably, maybe, not blame on Israel. But if it's a really violent explosion, you know, people may say that Israel took advantage of a weakness in the crust there or whatever and caused it to be destroyed. But either way, I think it's going to be bad for world relations with Israel if Damascus is destroyed, whether by an act of God or by a nuclear missile. It's going to be confusing about what the press from these various sources say. But you can see that there's potential here for other areas close by that have had eruptions like this and failed or ruinous heaps, failed eruptions. This area is very important to what is going to happen in the peace treaty agreements between Israel and the surrounding 40 Arab nations, you know, the Lebanon and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, all of these things here will be affected by an eruption here. Now, there may be something else at play, like a political move by Saudi Arabia, which it's already done, to get 40 nations together and link them in an anti-terrorism league, which they've done. And they have their own military, their own weapons, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know that I have that still here. I'm going to look and see if I can.
About 2.5 minutes, Dan.
Oh, 2.5 minutes. Okay, well, we'll forget that for now. Okay, sorry about that, guys.
So Damascus, what you're saying is it could very well be a natural event, a natural event, but
a nuclear. It would be better if it were.
Well, yeah, but who's going to believe that given the, you know, potential for.
Well, how many times have we read in the press that in the last 3 or 4 years that IDF has moved into Syria in various places and bombed with airplanes, et cetera, bombed places that were doing uranium fissible material refining, making rocket parts and various things that would be detrimental to Israel. I mean, the flight path from Syria over to Israel is so small that if they were to sit 100 of them at us at various altitudes, they may swamp our Iron Dome facilities here in Israel. And one of them is a nuclear device. It'll get through. And so Israel's been doing the best it can to limit their nuclear capabilities there in Syria. And this is Syria, not Iran. And right. Yet Bashar Assad has not been deposed totally. There's a new government there. But Assad is over in Russia getting help there. He may return to the scene. So these are things we've got to watch. I mean, the peace treaty is going to be organized by Saudi Arabia and Jared Kushner in the Abraham Accords. That's going to come to play, and there's going to be a massive shift in Israel's attitude toward Gaza and Hamas and whatever to allow a two-state solution to be imposed on Israel. And these guys, you know, Saudi Arabia and Jared Kushner are going to be pushing for that. Watch for it in the news.
Okay. Wow. The times in which we live, exciting and also disconcerting, to be sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Stan, we really appreciate your that was pretty intense about the sun and about what to expect now and into the future. But mentioning Damascus, bringing that into the fold as well. Yeah, it fits right in with everything going on.
I'm just trying to let you guys keep up with where I am. You know, it's day to day that I look at this stuff.
Man.
I'm glad you're around, my friend. I really am. And I appreciate your time coming back tonight and really kind of getting in depth in that. That really, I feel actually, maybe I gained an IQ point by watching you do that. Of course, I need all that I can get. So,
hey, don't we all? I'm certainly that age now. Yeah,
I hear you. All right, my friend. Thank you so much. What a great lesson we learned here, I believe. Folks, make sure you go to standale.com, become a member of his Patreon, his monthly meetings as well. That supports his work, very important work, as well as all of the books, CDs, DVDs you see there on your screen. And of course, from there, you will be, hey, you're going to be a lot better off. Cosmic Conspiracy, Dare to Prepare, the latest, of course. And the cornerstones of Stan's work and Holly's work, but also the DVDs on really everything. My goodness. So very good stuff. The real Indiana Jones, for sure. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much. And have a good evening now.
God bless, my friend. And Merry Christmas. All right.
All right. Merry Christmas to you. And let's hope a peaceful, happy new year to both of you, you and Eric.
Yeah, that would be nice. All right.
Yes, I understand. All righty. Well, I'm going to check out.
All right. Thanks. Okay, folks, that was Stan Dale. We're going to be moving right in with Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Now, folks, if you want show prep, if you want to know what I'm listening to and watching, it's the Ted and Austin Brower show. That's number one. Okay. But to get there, go to Team Health Masters or healthmasters.com. I prefer Team Health Masters. And while you're there, all of the health products you need, supplements that is, from the daily nutritional supplement to vitamins B, C, D3, K2, and all of them, the best quality, in my view, best quality on the planet is at Health Masters. So I urge you to definitely, good stocking stuffers as well. I do know, spoiler alert, I do know that some family members are going to be getting some Health Masters from me for Christmas and as a gift of appreciation. I can't think of a better thing to give. So having said that, Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. The links will be in the program description box. And I appreciate his knowledge of events, and especially with RFK now, especially with the lawsuits, especially the lawsuits about the food things. Okay. He'll be talking about that. And really the poisoning of America. Americans, the poisoning of Americans through the food supply. So he's a brilliant expert on all of that. Health Masters or teamhealthmasters.com. Austin Brower. Austin, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, my friend. Great to be back on the show again. I'm trying not to sweat. I just got done getting a late night workout in on this fantastic Wednesday. Great to be on the show. And for stocking stuffers, we got tons of great ones, including the Purple Sticks. You guys, get another box. Yeah. I got a bunch over here. I just finished that box. I was going to try to throw that one to the camera, see if you could catch it.
You just missed my head like by inches. But no, I'll tell you, the Purple Sticks are fantastic. If you want to pick me up a boost during the day, they work fantastic and all natural and, of course, good for you. So those have been the rage for a number of years. Appreciate that product.
No, absolutely. We reformulated them last year and really made them as clean as we could, as great as we could. They work better than ever now. And they got a lot of not decent amount of caffeine, but like a moderate amount, about 100 milligrams of caffeine. So it doesn't get you too wired up, but it does get you going. It doesn't give you the crash. And it doesn't spike the cortisol, because that's one of the biggest things you got to watch out for as you start getting older, is elevated cortisol for extended periods of time, which can lead to, more aging, more health problems. So again, stress hormone, got to watch that. But you're exactly right. Going into what you had just mentioned earlier, if you guys need anything, check out the website. Team Health Masters have a lot of different specials, including the 7 days of Christmas. On the front page, we do this every year for everyone. Everybody always loves it. We have a product that changes every single day. It's got a 10% off coupon code attached to it on the front page of the website. You can go on there and check it out. And today, the magnesium brain food is the 7 days of Christmas winner today. It'll change tomorrow and all the way up until Christmas Eve. So be sure to sign up for the weekly newsletter so you can get updates on that. Great products and great deals that we got going on right now for Christmas.
In fact, as soon as we get off, I'm going to be ordering the magnesium brain food. I love that. It does have a tremendous effect, I believe, in a number of different ways. But you could probably explain that better than I could. But I just know the result. The result is, to me, better focus. And for some reason, when I take that with some other supplements, especially in the morning, there's like a boost of energy. And I'm not sure if it's from that, but I feel maybe it's because of the focus, if you will.
Well, that's what it does. I mean, it supports long-term cognitive health. The magnesium theanine in it, which is the only magnesium that's ever been shown to go through the blood-brain barrier, it helps out with problem-solving, brain health, better concentration, quicker thinking, overall cognitive function. It's a fantastic formula. It's probably the best magnesium on the market, and it works so well. And there's a reason why it's one of our top-tier products, one of our top-selling products, because it works. You try it, you know it works. You can take it at night to help you relax. You can take it in the morning to help you focus. That's the really cool part about it. There's no stimulants in it either. It's magnesium threonate. So what it does to the body is incredible from a natural standpoint. We're either focusing, relaxing, helping you concentrate. It does all of those without actually having any stimulant in it whatsoever, which is pretty cool, honestly, when you look at it from a scientific standpoint.
Very good, sir. All right. We'll fire when ready on the topic of your choice.
Well, one of the first ones, one of the first topics that has really got my eye, it's up in Pennsylvania, and it's a Pennsylvania teen who's had chronic disease now, is suing numerous food companies for not warning consumers of the dangers of eating chemically laden food. And what's crazy about this 16-year-old is suing the company that makes essentially all these foods that he's eaten grow up, as far as Heinz, Kraft, Coca-Cola, Nestle, Mars, PepsiCo. And as he said in his lawsuit, Morgan & Morgan's one who took this lawsuit, that these companies now have strategically designed research around the brain's positive response to chemicals to make their products addictive. It accuses the companies of using the same the techniques as big tobacco. And what's wild about this is essentially this kid who's come down now with type 2 diabetes, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. He's 16 years old. He's having all his health problems. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that you're responsible for your own health. However, if you're dealing with a young teenager and you're dealing also with parents that are buying this food and they have no idea, because quite frankly, let's think about it. Cigarettes have required to put warning signs, warning labels on them. You know, other products have warning labels on. If you know this product contains things that are carcinogenic, that it can have health problems, you let people know. People decide to use it, totally your choice, up to you, not a big deal. That's what you want to do. However, when you start having foods that come together that you're marketing towards young children, they're directly being marketed almost in a deceptive manner to make it appear that they're actually good quality, healthy food when they're not even anywhere close to that. And that falls in the category of ultra processed foods, or UPFs. And essentially it's an industrial produced edible substance that's an imitation of food. In reality, it's not food. It's all types of different chemicals and different preservatives, and essentially they've glued together and make a product that tastes good to the taste buds, stimulates the brain as an excitotoxin through MSG, and it has detrimental effects to the rest of the body. And it goes on to say here, it says it consists of former foods that have been fractioned into substances, chemically modified, combined with additives, then reassembled in industrial techniques such as molding, extrusion, and pressurization. And what's crazy about this, the invention of this modern industrial technology contains little to no whole food whatsoever. You see, explosion in ultra-processed foods in the 1980s was accompanied by an explosion in obesity, diabetes, and life-changing chronic illnesses. And the lawsuit goes on further here. It talks about how type 2 diabetes and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is now emerging in young children, even teenagers, which is bizarre. Nobody's ever seen this before. And it says the human genome did not experience such catastrophic failure or paradigmic shift during this time frame. Similarly, the explosion of these diseases cannot be explained by a massive nationwide failure of personal responsibility that began in the 1980s. In the 1980s, big tobacco took over the American food environment. Philip Morris bought U.S. major companies, General Mills and Kraft and General Foods. He purchased Nabisco, Delmont, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Collectively, Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds dominated the U.S. food supply starting in the 80s. During this time, they used the cigarette playbook to fill our food environment with addictive substances that are aggressively marketed towards children. The ultra-processed food formulation strategy was guided by the same tobacco company scientists and the same kind of brain research on sensory perceptions, psychological and physiological aspects, and chemical senses that were used to increase the addictiveness of cigarettes. Studies of how electrical messages are transmitted through the nervous system are used to formulate ultra-processed foods. For example, scientists who supervised human electrode tests on nicotine addictiveness at a secret Philip Morris laboratory in Germany regularly consulted with Kraft and General Mills on how to develop ultra-processed foods and make them more addictive to the brain. So this wasn't something that they just said, oh, you know what? There's some cheap preservatives, okay? We want to make this food have a longer shelf life. We're going to throw some stuff in it. It's going to go from a 3-month shelf life to a 12-month shelf life. And nah, it ain't that simple. They went in and actually did psychological and physiological research to find out what ingredients were more addictive to the body and to the brain, and they strategically added them to the food supply and then marketed them as essentially healthy foods under brands that used to be fairly decent quality. You know, Kraft and General Mills and General Foods used to actually make decent things back in the day. A lot of the food companies actually had quality food. Starting in the 80s, that all stopped, and this food was designed specifically to get people addicted to it. And then on top of that, they worked in conjunction essentially behind the scenes to make sure that this food not only was addictive, but it had severe health effects on the body, which then in turn increased the hospital or medical industrial complex revenue, which they also were directly involved in. So you have them playing both sides of the fence. You have them creating the products that they know, willfully knew these things were addictive. They knew these compounds were addictive. They added them strategically to make them more addictive and then turn it out. And we're watching the biggest health crisis in the entire world as the United States is becoming the fattest, laziest, most obese, embarrassing country we've ever witnessed. And I think they said by 2030, we're going to rank in the world as like 66th as far as in death. We're down there with like third world countries now, but yet the United States is supposed to be the pinnacle of hope and health, and we're far from that, Doug. So I posted this on the website. Anybody wants to link to, they can. This lawsuit is huge. It took 2 years to put this suit together, and this is going to be very big. I'm going to watch it for a while. Morgan & Morgan is a huge law firm down here. They started down here in Florida. They're nationwide now. And for them to pick this up and put this type of time into it, they're expecting a massive payout. And quite frankly, the monetary aspect is my least concern about this. My biggest concern that I want is I want this lawsuit to get national coverage so people read it, what I was just reading, and they understand what's being done to the food supply, why we're seeing children have the highest rates of hyperactivity, of depression, of ADHD, of all these deficit issues, depression that we've never even witnessed in single-age children now, and children that are 5, 6, 7 years old being put on SSRI drugs, which are unbelievably dangerous at that young of a brain. Why are we leading the world with all these problems with children? And the answer, I think, is coming down to the food. And I think you couple that with enormous amount of screen time, with dopamine triggers on iPads and tablets all day long, every single day, throw the food in there, and you got a really, really messed it up. You got a very messed up generation from a chemical imbalance in the brain with these children, and it needs to be addressed. That's why I've been trying to bring this up so much over the last couple of years, to really inform people so they have the ability to make an informed decision, because I think that is crucial in today's world, that everybody has that right, Doug.
You know, look, to me, I would think, okay, if you drink, you know, a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew every day and right. eat a bag of Doritos and all of this other stuff, that's bad for your body. I would think, well, it's you. You're the problem. Okay. Your habits are the problem. But after your explanation just now, the fact that they're modifying the food ingredients, specifically targeting centers of addiction in your brain, while yep. simultaneously or concurrently killing you or causing you to go to the big pharma for relief, whether it's metformin or whatever for type 2 diabetes. Now, it makes a lot of sense. So now I'm thinking, before I would have said, oh, well, come on. You know, I mean, what do you expect if you're just drinking and,
right.
Hey, whatever.
I mean, personal responsibility plays a factor. There's no question. I don't ever discount that. You know, if you're doing something, you know, it's harmful to the body, you got to take responsibility for it. But when you start understanding, this goes far deeper than that. And the fact is, most people have been lied to now through generations into thinking that a lot of these brands that were maybe good 40, 50 years ago are still producing quality products when they're not. They're specifically designing these products to be massive addiction compounds that they know are doing this. And people are getting addicted to it just like they did OxyContin, just like they do heroin, just like they do other drugs.
Just going to say, it's almost equivalent to like the fentanyl, where they cut the product with fentanyl. And it could be for a number of reasons. It doesn't have to be just one. One could be to increase or to lower the cost of production of the product. It could be also to increase the addiction, and also, thirdly, to kill you. It depends. I mean, you know, it's a gift that just keeps on giving.
The food is almost hitting the exact same points you just said with those drugs, like with fentanyl. They're using it to lower the cost. They're using it to increase addiction, and they're using it to basically go in and make these reoccurring purchases. Because the thing about this is, if you can't get people to keep buying the product, you don't have a reoccurring purchase in the food industry. So you've got to figure out a way, I guess they figured out, to make it insanely addictive so people continually go back and they crave this stuff. One of the reasons why high fructose corn syrup is put in almost every single ultra-processed food now is because high fructose corn syrup increases ghrelin production in the stomach massively. Ghrelin is the hunger hormone that your body produces when it's hungry. So when you haven't eaten in 4, 5, 6 hours and you're running around, the body starts triggering ghrelin. Ghrelin goes, hey, you need to eat. I'm about starting to go catabolic. I'm going to start eating muscle tissue now because I need protein to function. If you don't give me food, I'm taking it off your body. So your body starts rumbling in your tummy. You go, oh, man, I'm hungry. I need some food. So you go get food. Well, the problem with it is high fructose corn syrup suppresses your fullness and increases your ghrelin. That's why if you've ever noticed sometimes you've eaten fast food in the past or something that's processed, you'll go and eat, you know, a whole bag of chips. It's like 1,200 calories or 800 calories, and you're still hungry. You're going, golly, it's just 800,000 calories. I'm not hungry, but I want more food. And you constantly keep craving it. And that is massively increasing the obesity epidemic that we have in this country. And that's why you're seeing so many people, they can't stop eating. Their brains are literally craving it like a drug. It would be like taking a heroin user and putting a bag of heroin in front of him and saying, hey, don't use any more heroin. And they're sitting there going, dude, I want it. But you don't need it, but I want it. And that's exactly what they're doing to the brain chemistry in the body, putting these compounds in these foods that they know are extremely addictive. And so, again, when you start putting young children, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and you're starting them at that young of an age with these compounds, my gosh, you're starting some incredibly aggressive addictive properties in these young children. That's why it's so careful to be really, really careful what you're feeding your children, especially at a young age, so they don't start developing these addictive habits. I mean, I've known guys now that have had kids and friends that have had kids. These kids are 6, 7 years old, and they're 100-plus pounds. Not a good 100-plus pounds. I mean, they're obese, completely obese, and they're waddling around. They're 5, 6, 7 years old. And I've talked to them. I said, dude, you know, this – your kid's going to fight this the rest of their life, man, especially if they hold this fat going through puberty, because all those hormones are going to lock in that fat. Oh, man, he likes to eat. And I'm like, yeah, because you have the junk food in the pantry and you let him snack till 12 o'clock at night. No, duh, he likes to eat. He's addicted to food. Oh, no, no, it's not a big deal. He's just growing. Oh, man, he's growing sideways.
Growing.
That's not, not a healthy look for a 6, 7-year-old. And it's sad because, you know, these kids don't know any better and their parents are allowing it. So that's why I wanted to get on that topic today.
And again, aside from the self-responsibility, I get all of that. But when they go in and modify, that's okay. Now we're talking something really nefarious. And of course, no one wants to see the obesity that we have, this epidemic. I mean, look at pictures from the 70s of like a Las Vegas swimming pool or just a crowd. You don't see what we see today.
Beach shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go get some of the photos. Somebody showed me the other day because we used to like going to Daytona all the time. We used to do some truck shows and stuff out there. And they showed me a photo from the 60s and 70s in Daytona. And you did not see one single person overweight. Everybody was in shape. I mean, it was weird. It looked like some, like, you know, fitness convention. It was an average weekend. Now you look at a photo of it, 90% of the people just, I mean, it's sad. And the problem with it is it's getting worse. And you have to ask the question why. And that's why I think if RFK Jr. gets in there, these things have to get brought to light. Without the knowledge and information, people don't know. And the media has done such an effective job at shielding and blocking people from seeing the truth. They everything's a lie. All they do is lie all the time. And so, again, that's why it's our job to get the truth out there every single day and really increase the awareness. Because there's an article now, the federal court now is overturning a 2020 decision that rules GMO now must be regulated. This is huge. The December 3rd ruling overturns the 2020 rule overhaul that had been eliminated by most government oversight over GE crops, trees, and grasses. The court held that the previous regulations violated the Plant Protection Act and Administrative Protection Act. And what happened was in 2020, under the guise of COVID, they came in with these restrictions or these laws, and they basically said, we're going to allow genetically modified companies, you know, seed companies like Monsanto, we're going to basically allow them to self-police themselves. We're going to tell them, you know, don't do too much bad stuff with these herbicides and pesticides, genetically modifying these Terminator seeds. We're just going to let you regulate yourself. And the USDA gave them pretty much carte blanche immunity. Oh. What you want. You guys just regulate yourselves. And now we've seen this explosion of GMO crops now contaminating the entire country. It's contaminated our entire food supply with foods that are unbelievably toxic. You know, I talked to a guy that was a GMO farmer. He works specifically with Monsanto seeds. And he said what they do is they get everybody locked into this contract. So they give you these seeds once a year. They're Terminator seeds. You can't, they don't reproduce. They go in and they give you contracts on fertilizer. They give you discounts on equipment. They give you agricultural exemptions. They go in and give you 0% APR financing on tractors. They have all these perks. So you're almost forced, if you want to make any type of a living, to use these GMO crops, these GMO seeds. And he said the problem with it is, now he told me this, he said, we're basically growing edible plastic. He goes, this stuff has no nutritional value. It'll grow in anything. We spray it with herbicides and pesticides all year long. It still grows. It doesn't die. And then we're processing it. We're putting on people's plates. And we're wondering why we're turning into the sickest country with all these colon problems, all these digestive issues, and irritable bowel syndrome, and all these problems. Everybody goes, we don't know what's happening. It's pretty clear when you start digging down. So I'm very excited to see this federal court overturning on this, where the GMOs are going to start getting heavily regulated on how they can use them, and also, too, how they have to be labeled. The population deserves to know if they're eating GMO food, Doug. That is huge.
I love it. When did When did the process of GMO start in earnest, I guess?
Oh, gosh. Some of the research on it, if I'm not mistaken, started back in the 80s. And then the 90s is when it started to become more prevalent, when they actually started working with it. And then in the 2000s is when it really started to blow up as far as growth. To my background, I haven't read about it in a while. I'm following what's happening with it now. But as far as when they started doing it, they were trying to figure out, allegedly, a way to make, essentially, it started primarily with corn, how to be able to grow corn and not have any as much issues with weeds. So they wanted to make some type of corn that was resistant to herbicides. So they could spray herbicides around it, like glyphosate was one of the primary early ones, and it wouldn't kill the corn. So the corn was glyphosate resistant. And so they did a great job at producing this extremely genetically modified chemical corn, so to speak. But then, I mean, you can go on our old website at Health Masters. There's a study that came out back in the mid 2000s, maybe teens. I don't have it in front of me. I have to pull it up here in a second. And they gave rats full diet was glyphosate Roundup Ready Monsanto corn. That's all they ate. And within just a few short months, every single rat grew monster tumors on their body, monster tumors. They did another study with swine. The swine ate glyphosate Roundup resistant corn. Within literally months, their entire digestive tract was mush when they autopsied them. Mush. Digestive tract was shot. It was like dissolved. That's how toxic this food was. And then Monsanto goes, oh, nothing to see here. It's safe and effective. Not like we heard that was something else, didn't we? It's safe.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Once they have a template, this is what I believe. Once they have a template, the bad guys, the deep state operatives, they use this. And it's, again, you know, it's
whether it be for profit or for depopulation. The motives are, can be different in different situations, but the, I mean, the result is the same, I think. Incredible stuff.
It is. It's all based on the same thing. And I mean, now we've got, you know, that piece of garbage Fauci, you know, who's on the record. I saw some of that the other day where they're playing recordings of him now basically talking about how there was just completely arbitrary, the 6-foot rule. The mask had no research whatsoever. They just threw that at the wall to see if people would follow it. Everything they did was completely and totally negligent. They knew what was going to happen psychologically to elderly people and also children when you isolated them for extended periods of time. They knew what was going to happen when you continually did that to young children from a psychological standpoint and made them so they basically couldn't have friends, couldn't talk to one another, couldn't operate freely, couldn't live. And now you're seeing these children with all these learning disabilities from COVID. And then they knew also what was going to happen with the shot. That RNA gene therapy shot was not at all what they told everybody was. They lied to everybody right out the gate. That stuff had been around since 2012 when DARPA started developing RNA gene therapy. They also started that with CRISPR-9 gene editing, working with Super Soldier program. They knew what it was going to do to everybody when they shot them up with it. And then like 2 or 3 years later now they go, whoopsie, that shot has side effects. How could we have known? But don't worry, the 8th booster shot, this one will be safe and effective, guys. There's an article that came out earlier here, and it's a bombshell CDC study. I didn't get a chance to send it to Eric yet, and it talks about how the kids who got the Pfizer vaccine were more likely than unvaccinated to actually get COVID infections. Gosh,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
I feel like me and you, Doug, I felt like we said that 4 years ago. And again, it's because the RNA gene therapy shot was designed to make your body start producing COVID spike proteins. It turned your body into a COVID manufacturing site. So, yeah, everybody got the shot, started getting COVID right after. Kind of like you see people, they go, oh, man, I don't know what happened. I got the flu shot 3 days ago and I'm sick as a dog. I got the flu. What happened last year? You got the flu shot. Oh, man. I still got the flu. I got sick last year and I got a flu shot.
And the year before. You know, no matter how much you hate these people, folks, I don't think you can hate them enough. And I mean that, you know, have a disdain for them. And the real Anthony Fauci, a book by RFK Jr., whether you like RFK or don't like him, the facts in that book will show you what he did with HIV, AIDS, what happened there, Gates, his role in this mess. So all of this, really, I including and especially what happened with the slab jabs, obviously, is depopulation. But the other part, too, is I really think it's a measure of control, obviously, that people want the control over this, over others. And what do you think about what's the possibility now? Gavin Newsom today reportedly declared a state of emergency. Did you hear about
that?
This? Uh-huh. What the hell? I mean,
are you surprised?
No, but over H5N, the bird flu. I'm sorry.
Yep. So California today came in and they basically declared a full state of emergency in California. And local resources to contain that outbreak, including hiring staff, issuing contracts for testing and personal protection equipment. Same crap they did during COVID. They're doing the PCR test again. God, they can't even come up with a different playbook. They just recycle.
But anyone who complies over there, you know, you're an
idiot.
You
deserve it at that point. Yeah, you deserve it at that point. You really do. I mean, at this point, if you comply with this nonsense, and they said now 34 out of the 61 human bird flu cases have been in California. So 34 people in one of the largest states in the entire country have mild symptoms from the H5N1 bird flu, allegedly. And they're saying now it's a state of emergency. They said is the first case now in California that somebody's having severe side effects from the H5N1. You know, it's crazy.
Wouldn't they? Austin, wouldn't they have to modify that virus for it to jump like it did? Or am I mistaken? I could very well be mistaken.
Wouldn't they have to modify the COVID with gain of function?
Yeah, gain of function. No, I get that.
Obviously, but we know they're capable of this now. We know what they do. This, all that has come out now with all the research that they do to modify these viruses. And yes, do I think that they've been modifying this? Absolutely. They have been trying to throw this thing at the wall to see if it'll stick for the last 8-9 months. I've covered it in detail about this H5N1 bird flu. They've used it as an excuse now to slaughter millions of chickens across the entire country, egg laying and regular chickens, millions, and millions of cattle. There's a lot of cattle they've slaughtered, billions of chickens and turkeys are because of this. And they're continually using an excuse. And now they're coming in saying, oh my gosh, it's jumped to human. It's jumped to human. Now it's going human to human transmission. I don't believe any of this crap that they're telling us anymore. And I'll tell you that right now. The fact that I think they've been intentionally modifying this, and I think they're using animals in certain areas to test it, just like they did with gain-of-function research with COVID-19, yep. And they're seeing what they can do to get this jump from species to species, and then humans are catching it, if it's even what they're catching, and they're turning around saying, oh my gosh, it's mutating. No, you lying sack of garbage. You guys are mutating this in a stinking bio lab again, just like you do everything else. They admit to doing this stuff, and then everybody's shocked when it happens. They're like, oh my gosh, they wouldn't do that. But yeah, they did do that. They released a giant virus on the entire world population and then told everybody they had to get a shot to get saved from it. They did do that, and they lied the entire time.
That Russian general or I think it was a general that got blown up. It was talking about the biolabs in Ukraine as well. Okay. And was apparently scheduled to give some report or some kind of testimony. He's no longer.
If you recall, beginning of the Ukraine conflict, the newer Ukraine conflict, not the ones that have been going on since 2014, the escalated one that got all the coverage started in 2022. If you remember, he's one of the guys and multiple other individuals over there in Russia were stating that there were 13 bioweapon labs in Ukraine that were operating under the DOD and they wanted them stopped. That was actually one of the main reasons why they alleged that the conflict started. Now, what you believe over there, what's really happening, what's theater, I don't know 100%. I haven't been to Ukraine. I've been to Russia, but it was a long time ago. So what they're actually telling everybody, what's actually happening, I can't tell you with 100% confidence I've personally seen. But what I do know is there's a whole lot of stuff, and I don't feel like Russia was coming out lying about bioweapon labs in Ukraine that the United States is operating under, especially when we already know the U.S. has a very, very direct history of using bioweapon labs in other countries to modify viruses to make them jump species to species. That's not far-fetched.
I do believe that there has been congressional testimony on the bioweapon labs in Ukraine. I would have to pull that from the testimony, but so this whole thing stinks to high heaven, and I believe Austin, I can't shake the feeling that something bad is on the horizon, immediate horizon. I don't know what exactly it might be. It might be nuclear. It might be chemical, biological. It might be all three. It might be, just a gigantic psychological operation against American people. But I can't shake the feeling that these bastards that really created all of this, don't want to relinquish power, believe, perhaps rightfully so, if they do, kind of like Liz Cheney. Okay. She's facing she's facing 20 years in jail if they charge her with witness tampering as well as suborning perjury. That's something totally, the same thing. But these people have to be held to account. They don't want to be held to account. And I believe that's one of the reasons why something bad could very well happen. Again, I'm a pessimist, folks. Don't pay attention to me. But,
all you got to do is look at history, Doug, and you're great at that. That's why you've been so accurate on so many things. You look at almost all these different periods in U.S. history. Anytime somebody's about to get busted, the tyro, somebody's about to have the spotlight shine on these cockroaches, they pull a false flag trigger to take the spotlight off them and put it on something else. They always do that. They're great at doing that. I'll give them credit. They're great at obfuscation and redirection. They're incredibly good at it. And the problem with it is the American population has become so insouciant and so dumbed down with the foods and the MSG and also the crap that's in their body, they don't even bother to look behind the curtain. The curtain falls down and they go, that's all, folks. And everybody goes, that's all. Why don't we look behind the curtain? look by the curtain, you go, oh, there's a whole other theater performing back there. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And that's why I tell people to do your research. You know, my personal opinion, I think we've kind of got the three main fronts that I think they're going to try to pull again is A, the virus trick. That worked so well in 2020 for them. It worked incredibly well at manipulating the populace. Then you also have the fact this conflict in the Middle East, this escalated thing with Syria, this Israel, Gaza, Russia, Ukraine. It's a boiler pot. They're intentionally getting this stoked up over there. We haven't been feeding the hundreds of billions of dollars of weapon systems and weapon laundering and weapon trafficking through Ukraine for no reason at all. We've been funding all types of different rebels across all those different Middle Eastern countries. You know what I mean? Ukraine even had an article come out that was on one of the mainstream media last year. We covered it. There are about 70% of the weapon systems that are going to Ukraine they can't account for. I mean, we sent them 13,000 Javelin missile systems. Also, they go, where'd they go? We only got 1,500. Where'd the other 11, 12,000 of them go? We don't know.
That's right.
Oh, well, just send us more. I mean, come on. You don't lose 10,000 Javelin missile systems. I mean, this is ludicrous what they're coming up with over there. And that's why Congress keeps feeding money over there. They're getting kickbacks on all this stuff. And then Aurora, Colorado, how they told us there weren't any gang problems over there. We don't have all these groups that are coming in that are taking over these areas. Aurora, Colorado said yesterday they apprehended 14 gang suspects in an apartment complex over home invasions, robberies, kidnappings, arson, rape, drug dealing, the whole nine yards of these groups. They said the complex is notably the same site which people claim in September was taken over by armed Venezuela gang members, but yet, oh, that was fake news. That was something to see here. Same place, more gangs, they're doing all types of havoc. Nothing to see here. These guys are armed and they're well organized. People don't want to believe it, but they are. There's an incident that happened down here in Orlando a couple weeks ago, and I covered it on the show. It was a group, a lot of them basically were Puerto Rican individuals. Some of them that I found out are from law enforcement have gang affiliates back to Puerto Rican gang ties. They went into an intersection off Osceola Parkway in Orlando, which is right by the Ritz-Carlton, very nice high-end area. They shut the intersection down. They threw tires in the middle of the intersection. They lit them on fire, and they started doing donuts and had a giant, basically, car party in the middle of the intersection. There was one individual that tried to drive through. There was in a Tesla. Well, unbeknownst to most people, if you have a Tesla and even some new vehicles now, they have pedestrian restriction sensors on the front of the vehicles. So if you're in a position where somebody starts standing in front of your vehicle, the car will not drive. It will stop and it will put its parking brake on and you can go nowhere. Well, they turned around and basically these gangs started jumping on the windshield, caved the roof in, basically, and there was a bomb and there was a newborn baby. It's all on car. These guys are this sadistic. Now, the good thing is the state of Florida, the lady probably wasn't armed. You do not have to tolerate that. You can shoot them right through the windshield if you feel that you're in great harm. In this great state of Florida, we've got Castle Doctrine, we've got Stand Your Ground Law. We don't play any of that. However, a lot of people over here aren't accustomed to that. All us old school Floridian boys, we don't care. We've grown up doing this our whole lives. And these groups want to come here, they want to start this, they're going to get a very, very graphic lesson on what happens when you start assaulting and start stopping people in traffic and basically trying to wreck their vehicles, because we like our vehicles down here in Florida. Florida's known for being motorheads, and we don't like people touching our vehicles. And if you do touch our vehicles, there's going to be consequences. And so these groups now are becoming so emboldened in a lot of these other liberal states that they're getting away with this in Florida, not so much. And they're lucky they did this in Orlando. They didn't do it in Polk County with Sheriff Grady Judd. That would have been detrimental to their behavior, to their health long term. But right now, I think a few have been arrested, and a lot of them they're still trying to find. But again, this is another reason why to operate, train, and stay tactically fit, being able to handle certain situations and understand how to utilize them and be able to protect your family. When it's time to get out of there, when it's time to get the vehicle out, if you get boxed in, if you can't go, when it's time to basically start using force and basically get out of the vehicles. And the thing about it is a lot of times the vehicle's immobile and you are boxed in. You've got to get out of the vehicle. You cannot sit there. If you're not in a hard armored vehicle, you cannot stay in that vehicle because you are going to die. Those are kill boxes. And a lot of people don't realize that. They panic. And so again, this is happening with these gangs all across the country. People need to realize this isn't a joke. You need to be situationally aware. You need to be alert, and you also need to know how to handle yourself hand-to-hand with firearms, with whatever techniques you need to have, but stay active. Don't be one of those guys, and I know them, everybody knows them. They go buy a pistol. They get a concealed carry permit. They go to the range one time and shoot two mags, and suddenly they think they're Rambo. They're going to go run around. make sure you're staying frosty on the trigger and you know how to clear malfunctions. You know how to do reloads. You know how to cover. You know concealment. You understand those different aspects, and you'll be a lot better off than 99% of the population out there, especially if you're staying alert.
Exactly. I was just going to say, in addition to that, you folks, you need to go to Health Masters or teamhealthmasters.com for the supplements that you need to keep you alert, alive, and thriving. Because that, look, it's one thing to wake up and feel like crap. And I'm sure everyone in the chat and most people are in the chat and most people listening have had days like that. But when you have a life like that, hey, you've got to get out of that. And to do it, especially with the deficiencies in today's foods, even the good foods, so to speak, are minerally deficient, I believe. Go to Health Masters, Team Health Masters, or Health Masters. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and Team Health Masters, we put together a kit, the Ultimate Focus Stack. I talked about on the show a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And I did a big special on it. It's on this regular price right now. But it's the purple sticks and the attention factor. That kit is amazing. Sadly to say, I live on that kit half the time.
Well, the attention factor, I can see through walls. Okay. I'm just saying. That's just
clear heat signature. I'm just like, I just see everything through it. No, it's you got to stay active, especially if you need it. I don't recommend taking it all the time. Use it when you need it. But if you're going to go train, if you're exercising, if you've got a presentation, if you're doing school, you're doing shows, whatever it is, it'll really keep you focused and on point. Makes you very alert, very quick. If you really want to take that stack to another level, add the magnesium brain food on top of the attention factor and the purple sticks. And if you're healthy and you're getting your body in shape and you're eating clean, you will be shocked on what that stack will do to you. But also, again, it's also contingent on how you take care of your body. I've had people come to me before where they start wanting to take products and they're completely adrenal exhausted. They live on 15 cups of coffee a day. They don't sleep. They're not exercising. They eat Pringles and Ding Dongs and cupcakes and McDonald's all day. And they go, oh man, I tried some of this stuff, but it's not working that well. And I'm like, okay, it works. But you got to get your body dialed in first. You got to detoxify your body. You got to get your liver cleaned out. You got to get your blood cleaned out. You got to get the toxins out of your body. You got to get some sleep. You got to get some B-complex in. You got to get the bases in you. And then you start adding the stuff like the Ultimate Focus Stack. And boy, it will absolutely light you up when you need it to. And so again, that's why I encourage people to stay strong and stay frosty, because there's a lot of weird stuff happening right now, as you just talked about. You know, earlier before the show, we were talking about this whole nonsense with these drones and how they're playing this card and trying to manipulate some of the stuff that they're talking about. And, you know, I pulled up some of the stuff on SpaceX's Starshield that a lot of people don't know about that. And the DoD contract that turned Starlink into Starshield, which is the intelligent community's Starlink system that can literally operate, monitor, and basically spy on anybody anywhere in the entire globe at any point in time. They can look down and find a gnat on a license plate from space with the Starshield program that they have with the CIA. But then they're running around and they're going, oh, we don't know whose drone this is. We can't jam it. We can't block it. We can't shoot it. We can't even find out who's operating it. We don't know who's doing it. Oh, we got to shut down the entire Air Force base in Ohio now, because we don't know what this drone is doing. Dude, I can't call BS further than anything other than this is complete obfuscation to manipulate and or possibly to distract. Doug, what do you think?
I think, look, I think this has many layers to it before the show. So I really think like I said when we were talking, I think that the drones that are visible with the anti-collision lights.
Yeah, green and reds.
Yeah. I think those are most likely ours. I do believe, however, mixed in there are Chinese drones from China. Maybe. Look, I don't know. And the BS sightings notwithstanding, I mean, somebody looking up, seeing the airplane for the first time in their lives, I don't know. Okay, so
somebody posted one the other day. They posted a video, like, these drones, I see them now. They're like in North Carolina or South Carolina. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, dude, that's like a Cessna 210. Like,
I'm not
really sure what you're looking at here, but yeah, they got green and reds. That's That's a Cessna. Oh, no, it's a drone. I'm like, okay, now everybody's just losing.
But the response from our government, from especially Mayorkas, I cannot tell you how badly I dislike that.
Dude, that guy is Cuban such Cuba. A piece of trash.
I think that there are a number of things really going on here. And they don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think our government is incompetent, but also evil, both. I think we've got an evil component within the government. I think we have a level of incompetency never seen before, as well as perhaps some collusion by our lawmakers with the Communist Chinese Party. So, again, it's not just one answer, but the response by the DOD, the response by the government is sickening, and people should hold them to account. All I know is if a drone comes, 10 feet above my head and I can hit it with a 308 or a shotgun. It's gone. Okay.
The thing that I was wondering about, Doug, because there's some people talking like, these are spy drones for this, or they're for that Iran mothership. I'm like, oh my God, shut up. These surveillance drones, like actual military UAVs, they got a ceiling of like 40, 50,000 feet. I know Global Hawk can go up, I think, 60,000 feet. I've talked to a few guys that have been in the Air Force. If you're operating a surveillance drone, at 50,000 feet, nobody's going to see it, period. Exactly. Secondly, if these are surveillance drones that are really trying to be clandestine, why are they running orb lights and white lights all around them trying to look like they're obviously visible? If they're running FLIR heat signature, which more likely they're doing at night, they're not going to sit there and have white lights glowing all over the doggone UAV a couple thousand feet up in the air. There's no clandestinity to that. Everybody sees it. So it's like who's ever operating these ones that are actually there that people are seeing, I feel like they're wanting people to see them. That's my biggest thing about it, because if you really have surveillance drones at 50, 60,000 feet, you don't even know they're there. You don't even see them. They don't exist to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Which brings into another or brings in another subject of distraction as well as plausible deniability, too. The talk about a warhead being loose or warheads being loose, which is different than the container that had some, I think it was geranium nuclear material in it. But if something does happen, the government could possibly come back and say, look, that's what this is all about. We were looking for this, and sorry, we didn't find it in time before, we had an institute to the continuity of government that you're seeing now. So, and the martial law that we had to implement. So, I mean, look, I'm open to anything at this point, almost anything, but I really have a bad feeling, and the government certainly does not give me any warm fuzzies. So there's that.
No, I mean, the government always tells us the truth. They're here for your safety and protection, Doug. That's exactly the truth. So, I mean, that you can't even take anything they say seriously at all. I mean, the fact, like I said, I think the insulting part is what we know with the intelligence community, what we know with Starshield, what we know with the surveillance platforms that we have, and them trying to play this dumb narrative. We have no idea who's operating these. We don't know where they're from. We have no idea. It's just, to me, it's just a slap in the face of the American population, because either A, we're spending entirely too much money on the intelligence department if they can't figure out who's operating a drone over a military base, or B, they're flat lying to us because they know exactly who's operating it. It's only one of those two options.
Yeah, exactly. And one more thing that concerns me, President Trump's statement, obviously, I had a little concern with that, because obviously he's getting briefed. It was my understanding he wasn't taking the presidential daily briefings to avoid what happened in 2016 when he was accused of using some of that intelligence. But anyway, what bothers me, you've got Elon Musk, who is running all these, sending rockets up in space. He's been silent.
He operates Starshield for the CIA.
Right. Right. But he's been silent on this. Why hasn't he said, hey, wait a second? Now, in September, he did post something on X saying the drone wars will coming soon will astound you. I'm paraphrasing or really kind of slaughtering it. But he more or less predicted drone wars in the skies. Yeah. Okay. Excuse me, and then you go silent in the face of this? I'd like some answers. Elon Musk, I would like some answers, because apparently you know something.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed that on the head, and that's the problem that I have with a lot of these people that have put Elon on this pedestal. I mean, he is a deep state boy at the end of the day. Let's just be real. I mean, he's working with the CIA, with Starshield. He works with all these contracts. They're giving him $1.2 billion contract for CIA Starshield's platform. I mean, he obviously is involved with this, and he likes to talk about free speech. He likes to talk about being very open and honest. He likes to talk about everybody needing the ability to have answers from the government. But then, like you said, certain things he's really pro-freedom on, and it's great. You hear it, like, that's great. But then you have the other stuff come out, and it's like crickets, nothing at all. Yep. Which one is it? Are we talking about pro-freedom? Are we talking about a transparent government? Or are we just talking about the same thing we're dealing with for the last 50 years? They pick and choose what they want everybody to know. They shield everybody from the rest, and they lie to everybody in between. And, you know, it's the same thing, like I said, with, like, if RFK Jr. gets in there. A lot of people like him. A lot of people don't like him. I don't care your opinion on it. One thing he has been very open about is transparency in the food supply and basically allowing people to have the ability to – the knowledge in front of them. If you're going to put extremely addictive preservatives in food that's marketed towards children, it needs to have a black box warning right on the front of it.
I agree.
This product contains ingredients that are extremely addictive and been known to cause cancerous harm, or whatever they want to put, where they want to phrase it on there. It needs to have it right on the front box. Ah, that'll decrease sales significantly. You go grab a Trix box. Oh, well, tricks the rabbit.
How about not doing it, period? Yeah. I mean, is it that difficult? Yeah, you're going to pay
more. No, it's not.
I mean, no.
It's not that difficult. Yeah, you know it's not that difficult, because you can go to Europe and find the same food packaged the same way without all of the chemical foods in it, without all the preservatives, without the ultra-processed additives to it. So, yes, it can be done very easily. But it's not as addictive, and it doesn't make as much money, and it doesn't increase the amount of repetitive customers, and it doesn't increase the medical industrial complex profits. Now, does it? Ah, there is the main culprit. It's always about the money. It's about the control, and it's about keeping their customers addicted to compounds that cause more and more harm to them. So, again, this stuff needs to be opened up. Enough is enough. The American populace needs to have a full transparency about what's in the food supply, and not these lies that we're constantly getting shoved in our face like manure or something. It's embarrassing, dude.
Do you think RFK is principled enough to avoid being seduced by the lobbyists and the money and all that? Do you think he's principled enough to get the job done or not? What are your thoughts?
I think he's been through a lot. He's had a rough background with some of the stuff he's dealt with. I think he's reached a point now where, I mean, he's fairly wealthy. He's well off. I don't think he really cares anymore as far as about the finance aspect of it. Obviously, money runs the world, and obviously people have to make money, make a living. But I think he's kind of reached a point at his age to where he's been so vocal about all this stuff, and he's pretty much made this his hill to fight on, or to kill everyone on. I'd like to use that analogy. Someone said the other day, said, it's not the hill I'm going to die on, it's the hill I'm going to kill everyone on. And I thought, that's a very
make the other make the opponent die on the hill, not
yeah
you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the hill that I'm going to kill the enemy on. Yeah. And so he's reached that point now to where I think he's put so much on this that if he really backtracks and doesn't do what he says he's going to do, he's going to lose any and all credibility with everyone in alt media and in the health industry and in the nutrition industry and the supplement industry. Everybody's going to turn their back on him, and he'll have no credibility whatsoever.
Exactly.
And nobody listens to anything he has to say. So I think he's got kind of a requirement now. As vocal as he's been and what he's done with Children's Health Defense and that website and what he's been doing with the lawsuits and fighting, because remember, he's already put a lot of money where his mouth is with some of these lawsuits. They've even had pro bono cases with some of the attorneys that work with his group go in now and file suit on so many different factions that have been going on with the vaccine, with the additives. So he's kind of already made his statement very clear. And I do think now the only other caveat is if they come in and they basically hand tie him, so to speak, and they don't let him do what he's supposed to do. They use him as a front man to basically put out this information, but that they don't actually let him make any changes or any regulatory changes behind the scenes, and this stuff just keeps going on business as usual. If that happens, that won't surprise me.
Yeah, the deception runs rampant. And I have to also indict the legacy news media, the fake news, because what they're doing, they're really a part of all of this that we're talking about. The cover-ups, the lies, the deception. And it's the legacy media. And even as was depicted in that CNN Syrian prisoner rescue, that was basically a staged event. Oh boy, am I surprised. And many other things, but I digress. Folks, Team Health Masters, teamhealthmasters.com, as well as healthmasters.com. And while you're there, certainly tune into the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. You will not be sorry. You can thank me later. Their products are second to none. I'm going to tell you, these are the best nutritional supplements on the market, in my view. And you know what? You get what you pay for. And I'm telling you, I don't think there's a product in there that I can't cite benefits from. You know, I mean, everything has a benefit to it, and I feel better. I've been taking this now for a decade, and hey, you know, even my doctor says, wow, good. Yeah, good blood tests and all that. So it's really, really good. So I appreciate what you do. That's teamhealthmasters.com or healthmasters.com. Both links in the description box. But definitely listen to their show as well, Monday through Friday, Ted and Austin Brewer. We got about 5 minutes left, roughly 4.5 minutes. So it's something to turn to you, and you just take us where you want to take us at
I was watching earlier this whole theater show again, and I feel like we deal with this every single year with these morons in Congress and Senate and some of these rhinos that are just an absolute there's atrocity to freedom and republic, and they're coming out now basically saying, oh, we're gonna have another government shutdown because we can't meet all the demands that we're trying to put with this government funding, this gigantic hog lace bill again. And I'm like sitting there looking, I'm like, God, do you guys ever stop lying? It's just nauseating now. It's nauseating. Everybody's sick of it. They do this every year. They do this as a distraction every year. These bills need to be chopped down all the way to the floor with the amount of money that they spend and the hog waste that they spend with the stuff. And basically Trump came in and basically told them all these different things they need to start doing with this bill and how they need to start chopping it down and cleaning it up. And everybody got, freaked out. There's a reason why Nancy Pelosi makes $180,000 a year and her net worth's almost $100 million. There's a reason why all these senators and congressional leaders, in some cases, not all of them, but some of them, they come in basically broke and they leave worth $100+ million net worth whenever they decide to leave. They didn't get $100 million net worth by making $180,000 a year. Just newsflash to everybody if the math isn't mathing for you. These guys are unbelievably compromised in some cases, and we need to clean the house, and we need to have accountability. We got to hold our senators and our congressional leaders to the feet of the fire, so to speak, and make sure these guys are actually representing a government by the people, for the people. It's the way the republic was designed to be. This whole thing with these guys getting here, these just long-term, I mean, like Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
What is that? What is he? I mean, he's at the podium. Freezes up.
Yeah, he glitched out.
He didn't even talk.
Sad.
I belongs in a freaking nursing home, not making decisions for the biggest country in the world. You know, it's the beacon of hope for most people. It's just embarrassing. He needs some attention factor. You know what? I need to see if I can send some attention factor. Maybe that'll tighten him up.
Look, I'm all for that, but sadly, I think you're fighting some embalming fluid. I don't know if it'll take.
Formaldehyde's okay. Floating around in there.
Yeah,
and I don't even my attention factor isn't strong enough to counteract formaldehyde, dude.
Exactly,
gibbity nonsense.
What was that?
Go ahead,
gibbity nonsense.
That's all Joe Biden saying, chiming in there, which, by the way, I mean, I don't know when in history, aside from Wilson, when it was obvious that Edith Wilson was really the president at the time. I mean, aside from Wilson, I don't remember anything this bad with Biden and such. So
I don't either, man. That's why, you know, I know a lot of people are stressed out right now. I've talked to get emails, I get phone calls every day, and I know people are stressed. And that's why I've intentionally been encouraging people. I'm like, dude, manage your stress properly, get some exercise, get fresh air, eat clean, make sure you're staying off food compounds that are going to increase anxiety, like MSG and other foods like that. You know, if you need help with stress, we also have the stress control kit. That's the cortisol buster, the attention factor, and the vitamin C. I've got that kit on the website. Very popular kit over the years. Really helps out reduce anxiety with people, helps out reducing stress, lowers cortisol. Really, really good formula, those three together with the stress control kit. But do the best to manage things properly, especially coming into the holidays now. I know people are coming down. Things are happening. Business, family, all the nine yards. Get your head right. Get your head strong. Continue to keep in the fight, because there's a lot of things that I think personally, we got a month now before this thing goes.